Hello and welcome to another episode of Half Court Press. He's Wilson Moore. I'm John Walker. We're here to talk some ball, some off-season ball. It's been a couple of weeks. And so with that, Wilson, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty well. We're gonna act like we didn't see each other an hour ago. We're catching up here.
Full disclosure, we I don't know what, like 3 hours ago, we were sitting next to each other in Lincoln at Nebraska football availability on Thursday afternoon. And here we are to talk
that's
ball.
That's our versatility right there.
I'm telling you, we are two-way guards, man.
Yeah. We play a positionless brand of journalism.
Man, don't they all?
Sort of everyone says they do. But yeah, answer your question, yeah, I'm doing well. Been a couple weeks since Nebraska season ended, been a couple weeks since everyone's college basketball season ended. So it's portal is full go. Guys are moving, rosters are changing. It's quite a time.
Yeah. I think just to kind of run right through the wall off the get-go, like not much has changed since the last time we talked. At least on the Creighton side, like you had mentioned, players are transferring, rosters are changing. Like for Nebraska, yes. And to some extent for Creighton, sure, because they've had four portal departures. But still no movement in Omaha when it comes to the transfer portal in terms of bringing guys in. And so with that, let's dive into the team that has actually had a couple of signings so far, which is Nebraska. I think we broke down their first one when because he had like just signed right before we did our last episode. But it's been a little bit, and they've had a couple more additions since then.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, as you mentioned, the first one was Andrew Morgan, big man from North Dakota State. Nebraska is obviously had some success getting transfers from NDSU. Sam Griesel was there before he came back to his hometown of Lincoln to finish out his college career. And, Morgan is he's the kind of versatile big man Nebraska likes, a guy who can I know one of their things, like they said to him, they want to be able to use him like they did Rink Mast last year, who Mast still hasn't made a decision whether or not he's coming back. But in any case, they want Morgan to be able to do a lot of the same things, which is, getting the ball at the top of the key, hitting cutters, initiating on kind of five out, knock down a three every once in a while. I think he shot 36% from deep, so he's capable of doing that. So he was the first. After that, it was Raleigh Wooster, which just
that's
like
so good. It's so isn't good.
It, like I like I'm
you say
excited.
Wooster?
It's spelled Worcester, but according to like the release Nebraska sent out, it's pronounced Wooster.
Wooster? Hardly know her. I'm the worst. Please continue.
Yeah, and he's a true point guard, which Nebraska didn't really have last year. But it looks like this upcoming season they will have two because Aaron Ulis is also back. So Wooster's a guy. He's not a great shooter. I think he's 28% from three last year, but he can do a lot of things on either end. Nebraska likes his defense. He's a guy who can run an offense. He rebounds well for a guard, can distribute the ball. So good kind of, glue guy, veteran piece, and the kind of player they didn't have a year ago. And then most recently, got everything. Was that just last night? What's today? Tuesday.
It's all a blur, man.
Yeah, it is a blur. Like, I can barely remember the order that any of these guys committed, but, two nights ago, Tuesday night, it was Gavin Griffiths became the third player to commit to Nebraska. And he's an interesting case because He was a big recruit out of high school, 4 or 5 star guy out of, I believe, Connecticut. Went to Rutgers with this reputation as a spot up shooter, as a pure shooter. That's strength, and shoots like 28% from three. There are reasons for that. You know, sometimes, you know, there are a lot of factors in any game of basketball. You know, a number there doesn't mean a lot without context behind it. But you know, I think you can make a case that Rutgers had no other shooters. You know, that was just a bad shooting team in general. So teams could play up on Griffiths, didn't have to give him any clean looks. He had games that he really kind of came along. The last 10 games of the year, I think he was 37% from deep. He scored 16 in what ended up being his last game at Rutgers in the Big Ten tournament against Maryland. So it's interesting because he is a guy who, at his full potential, at what he was supposed to be out of high school, would be a huge asset for Nebraska. You know, that version of Griffiths, who's, you know, 6'8" and shot 37% from three, is exactly what Nebraska's looking for. And it seems this coaching staff is banking on that is the guy they're going to get for 32 games next year.
You know, just kind of as you mentioned, like Rutgers is not a team that's gonna let 33s fly every night. Like that, it's not gonna happen. And so it allowed them to kind of allocate an extra defender to him, or maybe you can cheat your help to him a little bit because you know that nobody else is really going to be knocked down like that. And until they do, you can just stay stuck on him. And so, you know, that's, yeah, I think that was a good way to put it. That number doesn't really mean much. All that to say, like, 28% is not good, right? But it's like, it's not just looking at it at surface value and saying, 28%, like, why did they sign this dude? It's like, no, let's get him in a better system. And if he shoots 28% at Nebraska next year, you know, that's an entirely different thing than shooting 28% at Rutgers. But I thought about this a little bit in a over the past couple of weeks, and you talking about Morgan's role reminded me that they want him to play that rink mass type. Is there any type of scenario where they play a more traditional four and five with Morgan and rink mass out there? Should rink mass return, obviously.
No, it would make sense because they both shoot the ball well enough that you can play them together and keep your spacing. I mean, I know Nebraska really likes to have a five man who can distribute the ball. They like to run things. I mean, because that's not just Mass, that's Derek Walker the year before, you know, having a guy to get the ball up high, you know, hit cutters moving to the basket, be kind of the focal point that everything revolves around. But yeah, I could see that kind of similar to you know, Josiah Alek was a you know, he was kind of a hesitant 3-point shooter. He only shot when he was like wide open. But he was, you know, I think 33% somewhere in there, again on a low volume, but he could do enough that you had to at least like think about him out there. And I think Morgan can be do similar things. Obviously, he's not the same player as Josiah, but just from that particular aspect of being able to play with Mast and keep a good like spacing, I think he fits in that way.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And that's kind of the scenario that Creighton's trying to figure out as well, is you have this hole literally right in the middle of your lineup because of Baylor Shireman. And when I talk about the roster, I'm talking about it as it currently stands. So I'm under the assumption that Trey Alexander and Ryan Kalkbrenner are still currently actively, as of April 18th, on the roster. There's a hole right in the middle of the line of the starting five. Do they take an approach coming in? Do they see somebody in the portal where they're like, man, this is a, you know, we lacked physicality at times last year. Do we go get a big bruising four man who can bring that to a lineup and who can kind of take some of that post pressure off of Ryan Kalkbrenner? Or do we keep Mason Miller at the 3/4 and get another kind of athletic-y, sharp shooting four? Like, they're kind of in the same scenario where they're trying to figure out. The problem is, Wilson, they don't have any portal commits to say, hey, this is what it could look like. Like, they don't have an Arthur Morgan where they say, oh, well, we've got a dude just in case, I don't know, Trey Alexander leaves, or just in case Ryan Kalkbrenner leaves. There's no if or anything with them at the moment. You know, we kind of talked about it before hopping on here. The same things that were prevalent with Creighton 2 weeks ago are the same things relevant now. They have three open scholarships. They have to fill those either way. Three open scholarships. They have to fill those either way. So they've been active in the portal, hosting guys on visits, been in contact with a bunch. They've reached out to quite a few of the heavy hitters in the portal, especially over the last week. But they haven't landed any yet. And a large part of it is because they don't currently know what roles they really have open, or even if they do, like, it's not public yet, right? Like, if I'm assuming Greg McDermott has had exit meetings with every single person on the roster, like, that's just standard procedure. So maybe he knows, right? But nothing's public yet in terms of the decisions really for Trey Alexander and Ryan Kalkbrenner. And until they kind of declare one way or the other, you know, still, I feel like a broken record, still Creighton is kind of in a waiting game. So yeah, man, it's been tricky. It really has. And that's kind of the interesting part. You know, I have a bunch of tweets bookmarked on people they've reached out to and whatnot. And like, they have really, really swung for the fences over the last couple of days. I think Micah Peavy, the South Dakota or the San Diego State forward, like, swing man, like, they reach out to him. You know, I'm assuming they'll reach out to Chucky Hepburn, right? Like, you have to. I don't know why you wouldn't have to reach out to Chucky Hepburn, but kind of the same thing exists where it's like, it's so hard to tell Chucky Hepburn, hey man, we know you're ball dominant. We want you to come run our offense. Only for Trey Alexander, you know, say Trey enters the NBA draft process again, and we get to the day of the deadline at the end of May, the deadline to withdraw, and Trey's like, yeah, hey, I'm coming back to Creighton. You know, then that's a pretty sticky situation if you have Chucky on the roster and you're bringing back Trey Alexander, and you have Steven Ashworth still. So yeah, that's kind of the situation that Creighton was in 2 weeks ago when we hopped on here last. It's the situation that Creighton's still in to this day. Something's got to change within the next 9 days. And I say that because the early entrant deadline for the NBA draft is April 27th. So maybe we hear something over the weekend. Maybe we hear something early next week. But Trey Alexander and Ryan Kalkbrenner have 9 days to decide what their near future looks like.
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I can't think of a whole lot of teams in a more difficult situation than Creighton. Yeah. How do you build a team when you don't know what you need?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. And the other thing is, like, you know, you don't usher guys like that out of the door. Like, that's the tough part. And so then you have to, like, this is why I'm a firm believer in most high-profile basketball programs having, like, a GM now. I know that's not, like, capable with every program. But just, like, there's so many things to juggle. So then you kind of have to step back and say, like, we're obviously not going to tell these guys to leave, but is there a natural breaking point between us? You know what I mean? Like, I think back to a couple of years ago when the portal started to get really heavy, like, involved really heavy. And you would see people who, especially after the COVID year was granted, you'd see people who were at somewhere for 4 or 5 years, and they'd use that extra year to transfer simply because they wanted something different out of their college experience. You know, I don't know if Ryan Kalkbrenner and Trey Alexander are at that point. I don't think they are. But, you know, that's also like another option that just naturally comes into consideration. So, yeah, it's tricky. It really is. Yeah, not many teams have a more difficult situation at the moment. Yeah, you know, there's some teams out there that have to rebuild because they've had mass exodus. You've had a team like Kansas completely already rebuild with some pretty damn good players, AJ Store being the latest. But that's the gray area. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's the gray area with Creighton, is you don't know what you can do or who you can pursue yet, because you just don't know. So we'll see, man. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Chucky Hepburn and Frankie Fiddler.
I was about to say.
You know, speaking of two guys who have ties to the area, who are contenders for, you know, both Creighton and Nebraska, like, a Bellevue West reunion seems destined at this point. Where is it? Is it in Lincoln? Is it in Omaha? Is it in East Lansing? I don't know. But what I do know is that Frankie Fiddler and, as of a few hours ago, Chucky Hepburn are in the transfer portal, as well as William Kyle. So, yeah, man, we'll see.
Yeah, you know, that made me think. I forgot, you know, it was just a couple weeks ago, Frankie was on a visit to Wisconsin, and yeah, Chucky was, like, publicly, like, on Instagram, like, you know, trying to get him to come. And, you know, I don't know how likely it is that Frankie goes to Wisconsin. I know they were a pretty, you know, maybe even the front runner to get him.
Yeah.
Not too long ago. I don't know that they are anymore.
I'd say it's probably safe to say not yes, anymore, that, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, but where Chucky goes is fascinating, because, you know, the staff before Fred Hoiberg, the Tim Miles staff, recruited him pretty heavily to Nebraska. And then, you know, Miles got fired. There was a lot of ground to make up. He ends up going to Wisconsin, and it's been a kind of ugly relationship with the Nebraska fan base over the past 3 years now. They boo every time he touches the ball when Wisconsin comes, which, you know, as you think about it now, I know I mentioned this thing before we started recruiting, if Nebraska fans had really seen the whole chessboard, they should have been giving him a standing ovation every time he came. But yeah, I mean, he will have no shortage of teams interested in his services. I don't think there are many teams that would say, oh, a true point guard who can run an offense and guard the other team's best perimeter defender.
Nah.
I'm good.
I don't know. It's odd. It's certainly odd. Even just in the recruitment of, because we obviously don't really know much about the recruitment trail for Chucky yet.
Yeah.
But we do about Frankie.
Yeah.
And whatever this means, this is the timeline. This is what we do know for certain. Is that Frankie visited Nebraska, Creighton? I guess I'll go in order. Visited Creighton, Nebraska, and then Wisconsin within the span of 5 days, and said, hey, I'm announcing my commitment. Like, here are my top four. Michigan State's the fourth. I'm announcing my commitment on Monday, April 15th at 8 a.m. With Gary Sharp. And I'm like, oh, perfect. Okay, so we're going to know. And he visits Michigan State this past weekend. The only visit that he was outspoken about on social media, really, or at least on his Twitter account, tweeted, I think, Thursday night or Friday night and said, MSU, what's up, or whatever. He hadn't done that for Creighton, Nebraska, or Wisconsin. And he visits East Lansing, and then Monday morning, Gary Sharp says Frankie Fiddler has postponed his announcement. That's what we do know. Does that mean that something oh so drastically changed? And now, knowing what we know now, was that Chucky Hepburn? They're friends, obviously.
Yeah.
Was that Chucky? Was it Michigan State can get us both? We want to play together. Maybe that means, I don't know. This is obviously me just spitballing here. Maybe Nebraska didn't have the NIL that Michigan State was going to throw at both of them together, right? Maybe Creighton didn't have the NIL. Maybe Wisconsin was, maybe Chucky was done in Wisconsin and they want to team together so badly that Chucky was like, yeah, I'll go like pick somewhere, wherever it is. No clue. Like I said, it just seems like this reunion is destined at this point. When do we find that out, where they're going? I have no clue. But something changed last weekend in East Lansing, enough for Frankie to postpone his commitment this Monday. So we'll see what happens, man.
It's going to be a weird couple weeks.
Yeah.
Things were, now that I'd say this now, but things were a little too quiet the past couple days. It's like, Nebraska got transfers 2 days in a row. It's like, okay, their scholarships are starting to fill up. We're going to have a good sense of what this team looks like going into next year, and not, it won't take long for us to know what Nebraska is going to look like. And then things got to happen. And Chucky enters the portal, and that's, that throws everything.
Yeah, no, it really does. It really does. And so, yeah, man, I have no clue. Like I said, Creighton is trying to land recruits. I don't want people to think that they're not. They are like actively pursuing, like I said, heavy hitters in the portal. Good place for the program to be, to be in consideration for, 10 years after being in the Missouri Valley and 10 years of success as a Power Six in the Big East. Like, they've now gotten themselves three Sweet 16s in the past 4 years. They've gotten themselves to a point where they are like in the final fours or whatever of all of these like heavy hitting transfers. Just got to land a couple, really. Like, just have to land a couple. And Baylor Shireman was a good example of that, obviously. He was wanted by nearly everybody in the country and picked to come home, essentially, to Creighton. So can they get this transfer cycle? Can they get another one of those heavy hitters or two if you need them? That would be really ideal for a team that would love to get back to the second weekend of the tournament next year, because that's kind of the standard they set for themselves over the past 4 years, really. So yeah, man, who knows? We're just looking for a bunch of positionless journalists out here. Yeah. Positionless players, man. Wilson, you got anything else, dog?
I don't think so.
Man, yeah. Me neither.
We stuffed a lot into that.
I'm telling you, we'll quit talking these people's ears off. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of Half Court Press. Hopefully, we have some news for y'all on the horizon. And if not, then we'll talk about a whole lot of nothing on next week's episode. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.